Well, good morning, New Life Christian Ministries. I want to talk to you a little bit about the shepherd boy. And a shepherd boy is a person who has a heart after God. And I also want to talk to you a little bit today about the hand of God. God wants to put his hand on you today. He wants to anoint you. He wants to touch you, heal you, and all these things, what we're going to talk about. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 through 13. If you have your Bibles, or it's going to be up on the screen. Thank you, Mrs. Manda, for jumping in there and doing the announcements today. And Sister Pam, thank you for your obedience. And you done preached half my sermon, so you were right on. You heard the voice of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at these things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammai pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramoth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this hour that we can come to your house to worship you and to study your word. Father, we thank you already for the presence that you've been here already today, Lord God, and for your word. Father, I just pray that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and minds to receive what you have for us this day, Lord God. Father, I pray there be great signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of your word today, Lord God. Father, do a great thing. You are welcome here. Come, Holy Spirit, come and touch each and every one of us. Father, put your hand upon every person in this room today, Lord God. Father, I just pray that you anoint me with a double portion, Lord. And Father, that one last thing, Lord. Father, help me not to be anxious. But Father, let me preach in the power of your Spirit for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, thank you all veterans. I know sometimes you don't get the respect that you deserve, but not in this house. You are respected and admired in this house. Here's my introduction. Moses was called to rescue Israel from Egypt, but he left and ran away to the backside of the desert for 40 years. We call that the school of the desert. But he returned the man God had called him to be to lead Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Sometimes we have a hard time believing God wants to use us and that God wants to put his hand on you. But when he, Moses, had the experience with God at the burning bush, it changed you, forever. And if some of us are sitting here today and think, "Well, I'm glad to be in the kingdom," or "I'm glad to be in church," and I'm just a bump here on the chair, and I'm not really worthy for God to use me, or I can't believe God would use me. Well, we're gonna change your minds on that today. God's gonna speak to you. You know, maybe, you know, it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Just got to trust in God. God, what do you have for me? The thing of it is, if God would tell you what he has for you, most of us would just pass out and quit. Because we would think, well, there's no way, God, that I can do that. Well, that's correct. There's no way that you can do it. You need the hand of God upon you. You need to have the heart of a shepherd boy, one that has a heart after God, and say, God, here I am. Use me any way that you want to. I'm not going to limit you. And maybe today is your day. Maybe this is the day that God puts his hand on you. Maybe this is the day that God will elevate you and take you to a new place. And oh, by the way, I know in this large of a crowd, there's some people here that do not know Jesus, or you're running from Jesus. And maybe this is your day that you get into the kingdom of God. Come on now. Maybe this is the day that God calls you out and saves your soul. Write your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. First point, Samuel 16, 1 through 5. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? That's a sad commentary when the man of God shows up and they're afraid he's going to do something to them. In verse 5, Samuel replied, yes, in peace, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now we see that God gives Samuel his instructions to anoint a new king from one of Jesse's sons. For God had now rejected Saul as king over Israel. And so the reason he rejected Saul was that he was disobedient. He was walking in disobedience. God was telling him to do some things and he wouldn't do them. He wanted to do his own thing, wanted to do his own plan. We need to walk in obedience to the Word of God. You know, there is a reward for walking in obedience with God. We know that David, the shepherd boy, had a heart after his heart was after God. And God said he would do whatever I tell him to do. Didn't say David was perfect. We know that David did some things, some horrible things in his life. But yet he had a heart after God. And he would go after God and he would always repent. If he did something wrong, it would be obedience and repentance. He would repent and get his heart right with God. That's what God's asking us to do in our walk with him. Hey, if you mess up, repent. That's the only way you can lose out, if you just quit. But if you don't quit and you keep repenting and keep your heart right with God, you'll never lose out. God will always be faithful to us and keep us in his kingdom. In verse 3, God tells Samuel to anoint the one he indicates. Saul is out and one of Jesse's sons is in. You know, God does the hiring and firing. And sometimes we think, well, it's up to Pastor Ken, or it's up to this person, it's up to our boss. In reality, it's not. It's up to God. God's in charge. We need to start relying on God. He's the one that promotes, he's the one that hires, and he's the one that can fire. And he got tired of Saul. You know, he picked Saul out. Israel wanted a king. They rejected God. They wanted their own king to be like everybody else. So God picked Saul for him. It was his choice. The Bible says he even gave him a new heart, but yet he wasn't obedient to God. We have to be obedient. Because God had anointed Saul in the past does not mean he will anoint him today. And we can't walk in disobedience and think God's going to use us. It doesn't work like that. And what's the key to get rid of that? Repentance. You know, if we want the hand of God on us, we must follow Jesus with a whole heart, one day at a time, and make sure your heart is always right with God. That gives me back to an illustration of that is we know the story about Samson, how he had supernatural strength, and God had called him out to fight the Philistines. He killed over 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. But yet, Samson had distractions in his life. Things that took him away from God. And who was that distraction? Delilah. He got distraction over what God was calling him to do, and his heart with God was just kind of creeping away from him. And it got him in trouble, didn't it? Finally, he told them what his strength was about, and they cut his hair. He lost all his strength. He wound up getting his eyes gouged out. He became a slave, and he had to push a millstone around and grind grain up. The mighty Samson, the man of God, had lost it all because he got distracted. Yet they didn't pay attention to him because his hair grew back and his strength grew back. And I imagine all that time that he was pushing that millstone around, he started having a relationship with Jesus, and he started talking to God, and he got his heart back, and it was right with God. And God used him in a mighty way. It cost him his life, but he brought down the temple on all the heathen and the Philistines. Amen. Be careful of distractions in your life, that we can be distracted from our purpose with God. That was your first point, Pam. Here's our second point. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 through 11. When he arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse said to Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all your sons that you have?" "They are still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down till he arrives." You know that man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Jesse had his first 7 sons pass by Samuel, but the Lord chose none of them. Jesse thought that David would not even be qualified to be the king or to try out to be the king. He sent him out to tend the sheep. He didn't even invite him to the party. And the sad thing of it is, God was throwing the party because he was going to anoint him a king. And the party was for David. He was just a shepherd boy. That's all he could see in him. But Samuel knew that God had not chosen one of the first 7, so he sent for David. How about some of you folks sitting here today? Have you ever felt left out? They didn't choose you for the team. They looked at you and they said, "Well, you're not really qualified." Even in the church, we do that sometimes because we look at a person and we say, "Well, that just doesn't look like a pastor. That doesn't look like a prophet. That doesn't look like a prophetess. It doesn't look like somebody that God's going to use." But that's not what God looks at, the outward appearance. He looks at your heart. Do you have a heart after God? That's what God's looking for this morning. Do you have a heart after God? Reason I was just looking at some things on my computer, and I was looking at this. Probably all of you have seen the show The X Factor. You know, where they come out and they sing, and they haven't seen these people yet, and they come out, and I guess they pre-qualified or something. But I saw this guy, and he had long hair and baggy pants on and sneakers. Him and his sister were coming out, and his sister did most of the talking, and This guy doesn't look like, I thought they were going to do some kind of magic act or something. I didn't know they were going to sing, and he just didn't look like a singer. And his sister said, well, our voice coach said, well, we should try out for the X Factor, and we're going to sing a song for you. And they were trying to talk to the young man there with him, and this poor guy he was so backwards, he couldn't hardly talk to the judges. But yet when he started the music and he started playing, he started singing, he had this tremendous operatic voice came out of him. You know, and all the judges and the people were just in awe of that. He said, he doesn't look like the person. He doesn't look like the kind. He doesn't fit the mold. Well, God breaks the mold every time he creates somebody. And you're a new person and you're a distinctive creation in God's eyes. And God has a purpose for you and whatever he's called you to do. You have a unique purpose in his kingdom. God loves you and God wants to use you. So stop for thinking about or forget about what other people think about you. We stop trying to please people and start trying to please God. God will take care of everything. Now keep your eyes off of man and your ears open to the voice of God. Man will fail you, but God will never fail you. God was looking at the heart of the shepherd boy, for he had anointed him king before the foundations of the world. He was already king when he was born. He was already king before the foundations of the world were laid. God's already called you. God already has a purpose for you in your life. He has something planned for you before the foundations of the world. That's how much he loved you, and he provided for you, and he has a calling, and he has a purpose, and he has a plan, and he has a place for you in the kingdom. All we got to do is ask him. God doesn't want to keep it a secret from you. But we have to have a heart like David. You know, God's not looking for superstars, but he's looking for servants. I'll say that again, Brother Walt. He's not looking for superstars, he's looking for servants. God's already got a superstar, and that's Jesus. He covers it all. All we got to do, the Bible says the greatest in the kingdom are those who will be the servants to all. So we need to have a servant's heart. You know, where do we want to go? Do we want to go to the right or we want to go to the left? No, we want to follow after Jesus. God has a plan for your life and for my life. All we have to do is start asking him and have a heart that's right with him, and he'll lead us down that perfect plan for our life. We have to have that heart of the shepherd boy so God can put his hand upon us. You may be here today and think you're unworthy to be in God's kingdom or to be used by God. Here's a news flash. We're all unworthy until we were saved by the shed blood of Jesus, the Son of God, on Mount Calvary, and we ask him into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior. God wants to put his hand on you today. Whatever that you may need, he's got it. And he wants to give it to you today. This message isn't by accident. This is what God told me to say to you. And if God said, I want you to say that to them, then he's got it in his heart and his mind to touch you today and put his hand on you. Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, he wants to put your hand on you and bring you into the kingdom today. And all we got to do is ask Jesus into our heart. And I assure you, you'll never be sorry the day you ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And I know some of you want to go to new levels and new places with God. And God said, I want to put my hand on the people today. I want to touch them today. About the story of Saul and Paul. Saul got up one day and he wanted to destroy the church. going from town to town and place to place and putting people in prison and having them dragged off. He was even guilty of murder because he stood there and held the clothes when they stoned Stephen to death. He was just as guilty as the people throwing the stones. But yet, one day, Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I'm telling you, when you meet Jesus, it's going to change you forevermore. He's going to give you a new heart. He's going to give you a new outlook. He's going to give you everything new. It was the day that he met Jesus, and Paul made a commitment for eternity. And God knows our heart. God wants to do great and mighty things in our lives, but we have to have a heart after God for God to put his hand on us. Doesn't mean you got everything right. You got everything all ship shape and, you know, I'm super Christian and I got it all together. Well, I haven't found one of them yet. And I looked in the mirror this morning and I wasn't one of them, so you haven't found one yet either. Come on. God wants to put his hand on you today. Third point, 1 Samuel 16:12-13, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramoth. The shepherd boys arise ruddy, which means he had a nice suntan, a fine appearance, and handsome, but yet he was still a boy. He was still a young man. God said, arise and anoint him, for he is the one. Samuel anointed him with oil in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. It only takes God a minute to promote you, to take you to a new level. David also had the anointing, but he had not the platform of the king. The first thing we want to talk about is Joseph. We always hear the sermons about Joseph, the pit to the palace. And we know that Joseph's brothers threw him into the pit because he was just a young man, and God gave him a vision, about a dream about how his brothers would bow down to him, and they did that later on in life. But he was young, and he was cocky, and he didn't have the discernment to say these things right. But yet they threw him in a pit, and then he sold him off into slavery, and he went to Potiphar's house, and he was falsely accused, sent to prison. But yet in one day, they showed up at the prison and said, Joseph, let's get yourself a haircut and a shower and a shave and get some new clothes on, because before the end of the day, you're going to be the second most powerful man in the world, because God can do that. And if God can do that for Joseph, God can do that for you. Stop sitting there saying, poor, poor, pitiful me, I'll never be anything for God. Well, that's hogwash. Yeah, I'm a country boy, I can say that. Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Moses already knew that he was called of God to deliver the Israelites, but the timing wasn't right. Sometimes we sit here and we think, God, how long will it be? I know you put something on my heart to accomplish for you. But God's saying, you know, the timing's not right yet. There's a process you have to go through. Moses, I'm going to have to send you on the backside of the desert for 40 years to practice with the sheep, to herd them around, because I'm going to have you take millions of people out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. You're going to need some practice. Just like David. David was king the day he was, actually before he was born, but that day he was anointed by Samuel. He was king of Israel in God's eyes, but he didn't have the platform yet. He had some growing to do. He had some maturing to do. He had some things to grow up about and learn. God wants to put his hand on you today. Maybe today is the day that you start your journey. Maybe this is the day that God puts his hand on you and draws you into his kingdom. You accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you, I believe God's going to call you out to a specific ministry today. A calling in your life. A purpose in your life. Whatever that may be. God wants to put His hand on you today. Now recently I've been reading a book by Mark Batterson. It's called All In. And what this book talks about, as far as I've gotten to read it, some missionaries bought one-way tickets to wherever God called them to be. Wherever that was. They didn't buy a two-way ticket. They bought a one-way ticket. They were sold out. They had everything intention. Whatever God called them to do, their purpose was to go do that and never come back. It was a lifetime commitment. That's what God's looking for us. Are we all in? We also think about that, it's church, but let's be real, in a poker game. We see that you push all the chips in. I'm all in. This is all I got. It's everything I have. I'm all in. I pushed it all in. Giving you everything. God, I'm giving you everything. I'm all in. Whatever it takes, God, whatever it costs me, God, I'm all in. Heard this recently. Give up something to get something. Now, recently, a few weeks ago, we were hacked on Facebook, and somebody was logged into our account in Philadelphia and Baltimore, and we just had enough of all that drama, and so we got the password changed and just canceled that whole thing, just logged off. So if you're sending me messages on Facebook, good luck. But yet, I gave up something. What did I get in return? So when I go to work in the morning, I have a couple minutes before I start working, I'd always check my emails and sports and the weather, and then I would check Facebook. Now, this is just for me. I'm not telling you to get off Facebook. I want you to hear the voice of God, whatever it may be for you. But now I can't get on Facebook to change that. So you know what I have to do now, because I got a couple minutes? I get on my Bible app and I read a chapter in the Bible. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Now when I go to break and when I go to the lunch, I have a few minutes. Instead of getting on Facebook, I get back on the Bible and I read another chapter or two. And now when I drop my wife off, who's my right hand, my best friend, she's all that in two bags of chips. So when I drop her off to go into the store, I can't get on Facebook anymore, so I got to open up my Bible on my phone and read some more chapters. Now who do you think's progressing in that? Give up something to get something back. Just a thought. Praise team, come on. Here's my conclusion. And by the way, Matt, you're right on. Every time. Yeah, thank God for this praise team. Here's my conclusion. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David goes out to see his brothers at war with the Philistines. He finds them afraid to battle Goliath. He goes forth in the name of the Lord at first in Saul's armor, but it did not fit him. It was not him. You've got to be who God created you to be. That's where your anointing is. You can't be Pastor Henry. Who wants to be Pastor Henry anyhow? You can't be Pastor Kenny. Can't be our pastor over here. My mind's running a million miles. Bill. Man, he's a couple years older than me, not much, but he's still studying. Brilliant mind. God uses him in a mighty way. Yeah, praise God. Give God a clap offering. But look, I can't be him because one thing, his clothes are too short for me. But God wants you to be who God created you to be. You're the unique individual that God has created. See, David killed a bear and a lion. He seized him by the hair and struck and killed him. He was just practicing. God was having him practice for when it came time for Goliath. Some of you have been through some things, haven't you? You've been through some hard times and hard stuff and some trying situations and trials and temptation. God's just getting you ready for something bigger. He's just preparing your heart for the next step. So don't worry about that, what you've been through. It's just getting you ready for the next step. David said to Goliath, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord." He knew that God's hand was on him, and God wants to put his hand on you today. The creator of the universe wants to touch you today. God wants to give someone in this house a new heart today. He wants to draw some of you into his kingdom. He wants to promote some of you. He wants to heal some of you. Some of you may have a broken heart here today, and God wants to touch that. God Almighty wants to wrap his arms around you this very hour. He's inviting you into his kingdom today. God wants to put his hand on you today. He did it all for us on Mount Calvary. God wants to put his hand on you today. Whether it's in a healing, maybe it's a job or your finances, a calling, whatever the need may be, God is crying out to us, "I want to put my hand on you." Now he wants to hear from you today. God, please put your hand on me. God, put your hand on me. God, put your hand on me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We can't go on unless we give the opportunity for somebody or some people in here, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition and you're just not sure where your heart's at. Well, you can make your heart right with God today, because he'll touch you and heal you and draw you unto your salvation. So I'm asking you, is there anybody in the house today? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Said, "I'd like to be in God's kingdom today. I'd like God to have his hand on me. I'd like to be a born-again Christian today. I'd like to have my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life." Just raise your hand. It's just between you and God. I see one. I see two. Anybody else? I see three. We're going to give you just another moment. I see three people with their hands up. Anybody else? All right. You can put your hands down. Now, saints, you're going to help us out here today. We're going to say a prayer. And if you repeat this prayer and believe in your heart that what we're praying, God will accept you today. You'll be in God's kingdom. You can walk out of here a born-again Christian. You can walk out of here if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Saints, help me out. Repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. God, come in and take your rightful seat on the throne of my heart. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. There's three souls. All right, the next thing we're going to do, we're going to open the altar up. And if you want the touch of God, you want God's hand on you, we'll be here to pray for you. God wants to touch people today, whatever it may be. Come, the altar is open. Come, the altar is open. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your touch today, Lord God. We thank you for your word today, Lord God. We thank you that your presence was felt in this place. Thank you for visiting us for the day, Lord God. Father, I speak over your people now. Father, make them the head and not the tail. Bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out. Pour out your spirit upon them. Let there be great signs, wonders, and miracles follow them all the days of their life. Prosper them in all that they do. I speak divine health over everybody in this room, Lord God. Bless them now, Lord. Father, remind them this week that you want to put your hand on them. Father, we thank you for those three souls that came into the kingdom today. God, that is the greatest miracle we'll ever see when a soul is set free from their sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.